You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX PhD OD. Joe McKern with you. How's it going, my friend?
Good. I was unfortunately sick last week, so I apologize that we skipped some background, but some DOD, but I was indisposed, not healthy enough to grab a mic. So my apologies, but there you go.
Yes, and getting out here in the week of the term, as Mike and I are both incredibly busy with the term, the end of the year, just in normal actual life, as well as already prepping courses for the January term, because of course with the holiday gap, basically people head offline seemingly from December 20th to the new year, which is actually good. Good to get some of that personal time, but makes it the new term crunch timetable more condensed, my friend.
Yeah, no, it is. Christmas is a great time of year in some respects, a little hard in others, but there we go. We can make adjustments accordingly. We're not like we haven't done it before. It's just
exactly. Yeah. Just a bit more brutal with the things going on. But anyway, how's things going for you? We haven't chatted in a couple of weeks. Well, we have, but not publicly.
True. Yeah, no, there's some really good stuff that's coming up and that we've been working on. We've been obviously, in my end, planning out the end of the term and sorting out the last of the classes and stuff. And so I've got some really interesting stuff in background that I'm looking forward to covering with everybody. Some stuff that is NDA until later this week, and other stuff that is actually a bit of a surprise. I was just saying to John before we started recording that there's a terrific graphic designer. Well, I guess graphic designer is probably the right term. Big data visualization expert might be another way to describe it, who's in town. I'm going to hear a lecture from them, and we're going to be incorporating some stuff that from that lecture, but also some stuff that we picked up from CVMP into an upcoming background that's looking at design. Now, design is primarily John's area, so I'm not going to give you all the principles of good design so much as I am ripping off his principles of good design, and especially of color. And there are some good tools out there at the moment that I find really useful. And one of the things I like in background is just alerting you to those simple tools, oftentimes free, that can be really good for just doing stuff. So you can go, oh, I've got something that might do that. Yeah. When a client or somebody comes along with a problem. But I've had a lot of fun doing that. And I've got to say, there's some of this scientific visualization / graphing stuff that is so gorgeous that I understand why people want to just get big prints of it and stick it up on the wall as posters. It's really, it is like art. It's so immensely clever, but it does smack of that thing, John, where you go, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Just, the bleeding obvious is only bleeding obvious when someone's done it very well.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I'm very much looking forward to that. Should be right up my alley, I should say. You're certainly correct about that. Been busy here as well in LA as well as Chicago. Still putting out tweaks and finishing touches on the class delivery mechanism. Those of you who don't know and haven't been listening to the DOD or reading your emails or anything like that from PhD, we actually switched over our distribution method during break week. And appropriately termed break week because that ended up breaking some functionality related to getting classes out, things like the RSS feeds that was down temporarily as well as some other things. But we believe we've squashed the bugs as well as actually made some significant improvements as well in some of those mechanisms in the last couple of weeks with the help of those of you who've dropped us a line in support or posted in forums or things like that to let us know about the problems. So we've not only actually corrected those problems, but actually made things a little bit faster and made things better for you guys as well. So thanks for that. We actually feel at this point that we've actually got things up, certainly at the level they were before when we were using torrents, but now actually, frankly, better and faster than they were at that point, which was the actual goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it's terrific. I notice it myself when I go in there to do stuff, and you get that little note about downloading classes. Because of course, I'm like you guys, right? There's classes that I just want to see myself that I'm maybe not supervising, and so I'm really keen to do exactly what you guys do. And I find it easy not to have to use the torrents. I must admit, it was always workable, but I must admit I'm enjoying not having to use them at the moment.
Yeah, and seems to be, again, and talking to people who've tested, if as long as you've got your correct server chosen, most of you out there will probably get at least the same speed as you're probably getting in the torrents before through this direct download mechanism. So I think that's a good thing. And we'll see as time moves forward whether we need to add some more servers around the world, things like that. But right now, this actually seems to be working quite well for us. So thanks for your patience. I know that those, again, many of you were using that Downcast app to actually download, or iTunes for downloading your classes, and that took a bit of a hit in the last couple weeks. But again, things are working now. So that's been going on for sure, in addition to stuff getting ready for the new term.
Yeah, the new term should be a good one. We've been taking our sort of playbook from stuff that's been working for the last few terms, and there's some trends there. One of those trends is definitely to make sure we've got a healthy dose of 300-level courses. And so just to reassure you hardcore PhDers out there, that's exactly something that we're keeping an eye on coming into the next term as well, making sure that there is a balance of stuff, but including in there some really don't-see-it-anywhere-else type 300-level courses.
As well as just to that same, in that same vein, also courses that you don't see anywhere else too. So something that's a bit different or new, or you don't, you can't find anywhere else. Obviously, in the last several years, there's been a ton of people, you know, a lot of changes and a lot of tutorials being done by the companies, for instance, and things like that. But I think we've got some really unique stuff that we've got rolling out this term, I think, as well as next term. So I think we're hitting a nice stride with that here.
Yeah, one of the things that we want to make sure we do also is keep everything up to date. And so there has been some new software that's, I'm not leaking now, but I'm getting close, that is, how can I put this, you know, well, let's just say different, it's accessible through more and different places. So anyway, there you go. We're going to make sure that that stuff is covered and looked after, and you get, you know, a good range of stuff to be able to follow along. And I've got to say, some of this stuff we've been looking forward to ourselves. So it's just the rule of thumb that we often use here at PhD, and for that matter, at FX Guide. It's like what interests us an enormous amount tends to interest everybody else. So we can be a bit spoiled in that respect. And yeah, you know, go and follow those things that are of interest. And I think if I had a term that the stuff that wasn't of interest to me, I would frighten me. So we don't do that. Try and have things. I want to do that, which is one of the big spoilers, I've got to say, or not spoilers, but spoiled aspects about our behavior. Is you can say, I'd really like to learn more about whatever it is. Like, for example, when Arnold was in the early days and we were like, God, I'd really like to work out how they're doing that stuff with Arnold. And then we just went, well, let's just get that happening. And we, you know, pushed forward with Arnold stuff when there was no, I mean, like the website had nothing, there was no access to it at all. And sure enough, we managed to get that. And, you know, that's just an example from the past of us saying that would be really interesting because I'm hearing about it all over the shop. I know a lot of people are using it. How could we, you know, well, let's just push forward and go for the golden ring and try and get a course in that area. And it, you know, it works more often than it doesn't, I've got to say. Sometimes, though, it does take us a little bit of time to get things nailed in terms of getting the right prof to teach that. So there have been a couple of occasions where you guys have said, why don't you do a course on this? And it's like, well, we would. It's just getting someone up to speed on it that can teach, as opposed to just, you know, can use it but can't teach, is a non-trivial exercise. But I'm pretty confident when you see the next rundown for the January course, you guys are going to like it.
Yeah, very much so. Again, stuff that we mentioned time and time again, it sometimes takes several terms to get stuff together based upon people's availability and so forth. So I'm very happy to, again, I think start the new year off in a great way. Hey, so last week, the shortlist was announced. And I actually think one of the most interesting aspects of that, and I think you pointed out this to me on our call when you were just driving into work or something like that on your way in last week, was almost not just the films that made it to the Bake Off, but the ones that didn't actually make it to the Bake Off. I think just points out the level of work and the, you know, depth and breadth of VFX related films in 2013. It's amazing the quality work of films that didn't make the list. I mean, that's always true, I think, but for some reason this year, it seems that way a bit more than it has in the past.
Well, I mean, there are, as you say, films that are like that, that are kind of, surprising, to say the least. I remember when the Matrix sequels didn't get very far. Mm-hmm. That was kind of really surprising. I mean, no matter what you thought of the Matrix sequels, the visual effects work in them were just spectacular. So, yeah, it's not as if it's unprecedented, but I must admit, I raised my eyebrow over the absence of Man of Steel.
Yes.
I was like, you what? I mean, I understand that some films had good visual effects and didn't find an audience and thus mm-hmm. are pushing it. Like, for example, After Earth, right? Like, you just may not have had enough people see it to appreciate the work. And it, you know, got a bad vibe around it for whatever reason, whether it was a bad film or not. The point is, you're just not going to get people seeing it and people, you know, raising it up. That being said, you could almost argue that Lone Ranger had a bad vibe. It did go well overseas, but and yet it's in the top 10 in this shortlist. But Man of Steel had spectacular destruction sequences at the end. Really interesting visual effects with that, you know, communication device that happens with his father on Krypton, and then, you know, mm-hmm. Found an audience. So you couldn't possibly say that, you know, people hadn't seen it. Had good pedigree in terms of companies, you know, like you don't, well, okay, let's imagine you had a really great effects film, but it was, you know, in, I don't know, just in France or just in Sydney, you know, maybe it's like really by people that aren't well known and there's no kind of voting block, but none of that applies to Man of Steel. It's just it's opaque to me as to what happened on Man of Steel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very, very, very much surprising one. But hey, I'm looking forward to January. And again, since I will be out here for the first time, even though I'm kind of moved out here around January last year, wasn't out here for the Bake Off, but I'm definitely looking forward to attending that.
I should also say that Man of Steel is the biggest shock, but I also actually think Catching Fire had some spectacularly good visual effects in it. And so it wasn't, Man of Steel wasn't the only one. We got a list up on FX Guide, but there was just, you know, I think was it last year they did 15 that came down to 10 that came down to 5 or something. Anyway,
yeah.
We're now at the 10 to 5 number. So, yeah, that Bake Off final 5 nominees. I will, and I know this is kind of thing that people say when they don't win Oscars, but I actually think it's true. I don't know that winning the Oscar to me is, I mean, it's great and it's terrific. And from then on, everyone will always say Oscar winning visual effects artist. But to a certain extent, the nominations represent.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
the
totally
last,
Mike.
The politics to get to the last Oscar is really weird. Mm-hmm. But to get to the 5 nominees is really your peers evaluating the work with a very kind of level head. So that you know, getting a nomination is a very much an industry cred thing. The win is, you know, going to be down to a million factors.
Yeah, very, very, very true. So
which chat show she went on, which bits of publicity
who won it last,
stars kind
yes.
of went behind. Yeah. The only one that we don't have a story on yet is The Hobbit, because it hasn't opened yet and it opens this weekend. So I can't discuss it. I can't talk about anything to do with The Hobbit other than to say that's the only film in the 10 of Gravity, Iron Man, Pacific Rim, I did this the other night, Elysium.
It's not been released.
Lone Ranger, Star Trek, Oblivion, Thor, and World War Z that we have not done a story on. So, yeah, but hopefully we can correct that once the film comes out. But the very, very early preview screenings of Hobbit, of which there have been very few, have all been very positive, so that'll be good. And there's some other good films coming out over the Christmas break as well that looking forward to. I'm going to be doing a story on Wolf of Wall Street with Rob Legato and Martin Scorsese's film, which has some really interesting effect sequence. And you wouldn't think they would, but it does, about 400 shots. So there's some really good stuff coming out over Christmas before we get to the new year.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because you would not, watching the trailer, you would not assume that there were that many VFX shots in that film.
Well, I mean, I'm not giving anything away. There's
no.
A huge sequence when they're in Italy, right?
Yeah.
And they never left them. They never
exactly.
Left America, so.
Yes.
So a bit of green screen there. But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. But, and you know, I imagine that there'll be some, you know, disappointments and stuff, but there's actually a bunch of stuff opening kind of Christmas Day, I believe, in the US and around that time in Australia that all look kind of interesting. So we'll see what happens.
Because everyone goes out to movies on Christmas.
Well, I think they do the day after Christmas. And certainly in Australia they do. Box office.
Boxing?
Boxing Day here, but is like the box office, you know, spike is, I think, Boxing Day here. I think you have it, is it Memorial Day weekend or is it 4th of July? It's one of those dates. So you have a sort of a similar public holiday where nothing much to do. So everybody goes to the movies, is that right?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. Here in the States, everyone returns their stuff, I guess, the day. We don't have the Boxing Days in the UK and Australia. So yeah, right. I imagine it's a big day after it there as well. And I jest a little bit because I actually have quite a few friends who actually end up going to the theater on later in the day on Christmas. People who aren't able to spend time with their family, maybe can't get back to their family, kind of hang out, do some dinner, you know, with themselves, and then actually will head out to the theater afterwards. So I actually do know quite a few people who actually do that, but it's never struck me as a big day. I think the actual Christmas Day itself to actually go out and check out.
No, Christmas Day is dead here. Like, yeah. Honestly, nothing's open. It's like,
but even Boxing Day is like, pretty big.
Boxing Day is huge, yeah. But Christmas Day dead as a doornail.
Right.
I think it's actually weird because we have a much stronger Easter as well. I think we have a stronger kind of religious holidays than you guys do because our Easter is taken very seriously. Lots of public holiday and no one does anything. It's very much, not a holiday for to be, you know, it's like some holidays are kind of like, I mean, we have weird things like a bank holiday and you kind of go, really, that's a holiday? It's like,
yes.
No one takes it seriously. Yeah. Easter is not one of those that gets taken very seriously in Australia.
Right. But yeah, well, anyway, it looks like a good holiday season for some interesting films coming out in that time period, actually. So
yes, and going into the new year, there's some good tech as well coming down the pipe. We know of some really interesting projects coming out around a May kind of June timeframe that involves some really, really cool tech. I'm hoping to get some of that into Background Fundamentals. It's actually really hard to get feature film tech covered at that level, but we you know, if we can do it, we will. I was going to say, and spinning off from that is that SciTech Awards. So one of the things I really like about the time of year is the SciTechs, and separate to, of course, the main Oscars. And it's a great opportunity for us to focus on some of the stuff under the hood. We get a lot more access to the people that are developing the stuff. So as soon as the SciTech list is announced, and I think I might have mentioned this before on the DoD, there's a very it's not like it's a controversial thing, but they put out a couple of subjects for SciTechs this year that caused a huge round of discussion. So what happens with the SciTechs is they say, I want to give award to John Montgomery for rendering. And everyone goes, wait a second, rendering? Hey, I didn't know you were giving a SciTech for that. And then they shove in all their like, well, if you can give him a SciTech for, or you should give us one for rendering and or whatever it is, right? And that happened this year. So we have no idea right now as to where the SciTechs are going to fall. They may give a bunch of them in this particular area that I'm referring to. They may decide that it's all too complicated and pull that section. There's always going to be a couple of people invented new Luma cranes or, you know, whatever stuff that will there used to be film stocks. But anyway, stuff like that. But I'm talking about in our area. So we have no idea where those cards are going to fall. But people literally, I know, flying around the world to personally pitch in this review process in California to the SciTech committee. So I'm really interested in where that's going to fall. And once that falls, we've lined up preliminary discussions with a number of the major studios to then follow through and do in-depth pieces. And again, that is something that we definitely will try and get into next term's Background Fundamentals, because it gives me a good opportunity to discuss at length some of the techniques that they've used. And we've done that in the past and it's been very popular.
Yes, very much so. Looking forward to it. Well, hey, my friend, I need to cut this DoD a bit short this week. I just got an email I need to deal with. as Mike said, we were sorry to miss last week. Obviously, can't do that with Mike sick, but we just, again, enjoy doing these DoDs. Want to keep you guys up to date on what's going on with the site. So we figured we'd get this week's out a bit earlier than we generally do each week. So anyway, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to it. We appreciate it.
Yep, and look forward to seeing you guys both for the rest of this term and, of course, the beginning of next term. All right, see ya.
Cheers, bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.